For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. In your life, do you feel the pressure to keep up with the Joneses? Have you ever fallen into the trap of material possessions that didn't live up to its promise? The Bible warns us about pursuing temporary pleasures instead of laying up our treasure in the eternal matters. Luke records in his gospel an account of Jesus contrasting the life of a beggar with the life of a wealthy man. Each one lived dissimilar lives on earth, but also had very different outcomes in eternity. Turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 16, as Pastor Holland begins a message entitled, A Portrait of a Wasted Life.
Bible is going to look at a passage of scripture today, which I guess in a lot of churches and a lot of preachers maybe have quit preaching on the subject, but I still believe the whole Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't believe there's anything that ought to be left untouched. I believe it all ought to be exhausted to the best of our ability, given the truth that is before us. And in Luke chapter 16, I want to title the message, A Portrait of a Wasted Life. We find a man in Luke 16, beginning verse 19, that was a very rich man. He had everything the world seemed to have to offer him, but yet he rejected the most important thing, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you may be successful in this life. You may live a good life. You may make a lot of money. You may have a nice home and drive a nice car. You may have money in the bank and literally have no need of anything, but yet we'll become as the Laodicean church was. They felt they had no need of nothing, when in all reality, what we need is we need God more than we've ever needed Him before in our life. I'll not read the entire scripture. We'll look at it as we go. But I'll begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, if you would just try to envision in your mind exactly the two men. Here's a man with a lot of money, fared sumptuously every day, had everything he needed, clothes to wear, food to eat, everything that he could have possibly wanted or imagined in his life, he had. And yet, here on the other side, outside of the gate, there was a man by the name of Lazarus, and Lazarus sat begging every day just for the crumbs off of his table. And the Bible said the man was full of sores. Look at verse 21. And desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, that's an awful thing and an awful sight to even think about. And some would say, preacher, that's repulsive. Could I tell you today, God uses repulsive things. Help us to get a mental picture of exactly what we need to do and how we need to follow Him. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Call me old-fashioned, if you will, but I still believe in hell. I believe the Bible teaches heaven, and I believe it teaches hell. I believe heaven's a wonderful thing, and every time I preach on it, people enjoy that. It's a blessing to know what we're going to have when we get to heaven. But friend, I want you to know, for those who do not know they're going to heaven, I want you to know what you're going to have when you find yourself in this place called hell. People today, and many preachers have said, we don't need to preach on that anymore. It's a scare tactic to try to get people saved. I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter to me how you come to Christ. I believe it's important that something in our life jogs our mind enough to know that we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by His grace. And to be honest with you, I don't know of any better thing to think about than to want to get saved so you wouldn't have to go to hell. I would think that would be a good thing, and everybody should desire that. But hell is a reality to the souls of men. Somebody said, oh, that was just a parable. That was just him talking and using his example. But friend, I want you to know the Bible has much to say about hell. In fact, it's referred to 162 times in the New Testament. If it had not been important, I do not believe we would have seen reference to it 162 times, and 70 of those times was made by the Lord Jesus himself as he talked about this place called hell. If hell is not real, then why do we need church? Why do we need the house of God? Why do we need preachers? Why do we even need the Bible? The Bible would not be true if there was no hell. Sin would not be existent if there was no hell, or the Bible would not be existent if there was no hell. And we truly see today that there's one way that we can miss hell, and obviously Lazarus, the poor man that had nothing but sores and sat at the gate, he ended up in the place, as he talks about, Abraham's bosom, which would be the reference to being in heaven. And the rich man died, and the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. I want you to go back with me and look at the verses we just read, and first of all see that this man in his wasted life, he was satisfied. Most people would call him very successful. I believe the Bible, as we know it, would say that he lived his life wasted. I've often referenced this, and I understand that now I've gotten quite a bit older than I used to be. I got here a whole lot quicker than I thought I would, and I look back and I wonder how I got here so fast. But honestly, I've gotten on the other end of the spectrum, and now, it used to be, as a kid, I looked at my parents and my grandparents as being the older one, and now we're the parents and we're the grandparents and we're older, and this life down here is almost over. Do you understand today, as I look back over my life, I thank God for some things that we've been able to do and may be able to accomplish, and I would hope that I've had some success in this life, but the real success will not come in what I did while I was here, although I believe we ought to serve God and be faithful, but I believe the real success will be determined at our death when we stand before God and find whether we enter into the presence of the Lord or whether we are cast into the lake of fire. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, the Bible said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, today you can have all the money there is. There's been the Howard Hugheses, and I could name others one after another. People today, listen, you can read in Fortune magazine and read the top richest people in the world. But I'm going to tell you, you would say, boy, they've been successful. But friend, when they die, if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, their life will have been wasted because they did not invest in eternity in the place that they know that they should go or needed to go. Here's a man that was satisfied. You know, today, the Bible said it's harder for a rich man. It's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, isn't that kind of ridiculous? You know, a camel can't go through the eye of a needle. Well, is Christ saying rich people will not be saved? Absolutely not. There's going to be a lot of people that have been very wealthy in this life. But he's saying what it is they get so satisfied with what they have, they think they don't need anything, and as a result, they don't depend on God. You know, I don't like it sometimes, but I'm grateful that God sends trials my way because it makes me more dependent on Him. It makes me trust Him more, and it helps me to know really where my strength and help comes from. Here was a man that was satisfied. He no doubt probably had a good family, had a big house, probably had servants, had somebody cooking his food. He was living the life. And yet on the other hand, he was selfish with what he had. Look at verse 21. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, when he was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." If this man would have really been interested, we would have seen where he would have went out and got Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, I'm going to let one of my servants clean up your sores, and we're going to put some ointment on them, and we're going to try to help that, but I want you to come sit at my table. I've got an abundance of food, and I'll share with you." But he did not do that. He thought only of himself. And by the way, that's the way many times people are. They're very selfish in their life. They don't recognize where the blessings come from. This rich man had it all. He fared sumptuously, but unfortunately, even though he was satisfied, and yes, even though he was selfish, we find that the day came when he was stopped. In verse number 22, all this time, it didn't give us a time period, but it came to pass that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. He lived in this world as if this world was all there was to live for. Friend, living in this world is just a beginning of where we will live in eternity. We can invest everything we have in this world, but when death comes, we will not take it with us. Heard one preacher say, and I agree, we've never seen a U-Haul following the hearse to the cemetery. You won't take it with you. You may have everything there is to have, and you may have it, but every one of us is going to die. We're going to face death no matter what. And we need to understand today, we need to be prepared when that day comes. Now, I believe according to this scripture, doesn't give us a great deal of detail, but I believe that obviously it was a sudden death. You know, oftentimes we're shocked. We hear people die, and you say, well, I just saw them yesterday. Well, they were here last night, and they died in their sleep. What happened? The Lord took them. It was time for them to go, and he took them out. And yet we see this rich man was stopped. And yet, although he was satisfied and although he was selfish, the day came when he died and he had to face the Lord. The second thing we notice is he died a wretched death. In verses 23 through 26, the Bible said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Friend, today, death is not the end. Death is the beginning. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, sometimes at a funeral service, people like, they don't mind you quoting 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but they don't like to hear that last part, and after this, the judgment. Friend, I want you to know today, we will not get into heaven by Peter accepting or rejecting. We'll not get into heaven by angels that will declare whether we've been good enough. We're going to get to heaven because we believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, death for some is going to be a rude awakening. I believe many people that have been witnessed to, many people that have sat in church, and many people that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be wakened rudely when they find out exactly where they are. We find death finds us and eternity keeps us. And oh, what a wretched death it would be to die and go to hell. We find not only that, but first of all, we find his suffering. Look at verse 23. He said, in the hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The torments of hell are many. If you'll follow along, I'll give them to you quickly. First of all, it's a place of punishment. Matthew 25:41. Then he shall say also with them unto the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to understand, hell was not prepared for you. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but if you reject God, it's exactly where you'll end up. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of unquenchable fire. The Bible said in the book of, look at verse 24, and he cried and he said, Father Abraham, now listen, if you don't believe, you got to either believe the Bible or not believe the Bible. And the Bible said he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. It's an unquenchable fire.
What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Have you secured your soul for eternity? We at Victory Baptist Church would welcome the opportunity to help you know for sure. Join us again next week as we conclude this message, A Portrait of a Wasted Life. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.